Sheffield is a columnist and broadcaster in Washington, D.C. She grew up the fifth of eight children with a violent, mentally ill street musician father who believed he was a modern-day Mormon prophet destined to become U.S. president. She and her siblings were often forced to live as vagabonds, remaining on the move across the country, frequently surviving in sheds, tents, and most notably, motorhomes. Carrie struggled with her mental health during college and most of her adult life, but she seized control of her life, transcended her troubled past, and overcame her toxic inner voice thanks to the power of forgiveness cultivated through her faith in Christ. National media outlets seek out Carrie for live on-air commentary on important topics shaping society from politics and economics to pressing societal issues like faith and family. She speaks to tens of thousands of people during her live events at colleges and universities across the country. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm Tina Griffin. Get your seatbelt on for this wild ride. We are talking about the tough subject of forgiveness with columnist and broadcaster Carrie Sheffield. Carrie, how are you doing today from Washington, D.C.?
Tina, thanks for so much for having me. God bless you and your work.
You too. Now, we were trying to discover, I'm like, are we related? How do I know you? We met 2 years ago. Can you give the audience a little glimpse on where I met you and how that happened?
So we met at the Council for National Policy, which is a great organization for Christians in public policy out in Dana Point, California. They have different venues or different conferences at different venues all around the country. And I love their work because they are seeking, as Ronald Reagan said, quite often people say, oh, God is on my side and we should be asking ourselves, am I on God's side? And I love CNP because I'm constantly meeting people in that community who are saying, am I on God's side? How can we implement our faith in a way that is aligned with our values and public policy, but making sure that we're always asking that question, am I on God's side?
It's so good. And believe it or not, I'm going through your notes. I'm like, this is a wild story, which the audience is going to be like, seriously, I thought my life was nuts. And if she can make it and working for God, I have no excuse. That's what's going to happen as a result of the next 25 minutes, everybody. But you are a buried treasure because I remember talking to you, but I forgot a good chunk of your story. And I remember who you are the second I saw your face in the lineup here. I'm like, no way. We got to talk to her immediately. The 2 years, shame on me. So I'm glad we got you in the mix. Perfect timing, though. God's timing, of course. You are a columnist and broadcaster there in Washington, D.C. Tell us, what was the drive for writing your book, Motorhome Prophecies?
Yeah, so I wrote the book. I think it is very timely. And so you're right. It is God's timing. Right now in America, we have the highest suicide rate since the Great Depression, since 1941, and the highest count, the highest body count literally ever in American history. And you're seeing depression rates skyrocket. I was looking at some statistics on young women, for example. Young women from at the time when Gen X were young women, the suicide rate now of women, young women who were the same age back when, I think it was like, you know, 18 to 29 or something, it's double for Gen Z and millennials today what it was for Gen X women when they were that age. So Wow. You're seeing this, you know, and it's not recovered since COVID. So these are figures that are coming even post-COVID, depression, mental illness, suicide, suicidal ideation. And I struggled with all of these things my entire life. So I felt like in some ways God was preparing me by giving me a childhood that I would never wish on anybody, but he got me through it. And so I want to impart those basically tools to people who are struggling or for somebody that you love or know who's struggling so that we can get through it through the power of God.
It does not surprise me how you had thoughts of suicide throughout your childhood and young adult years with the past that you had. So I know people are like, tell us what in the world, how, what, your dad, you got to fill us in. Your background, give us a couple minute bullet point form here of what you survived.
Yeah, so the book's called Motorhome Prophecies because I have seven biological siblings and then my mother. So there were 10 people, all of us living in a motorhome. So just the physics of 10 people in a motorhome alone is very uncomfortable, but it could have been fun, like a permanent vacation kind of thing if it was done with love and compassion, but instead it was done with verbal abuse and control. So I call what my father did to us a cult. He was actually excommunicated from the official Mormon church because they disagreed with his approach to Revelation. But unfortunately, it wasn't until we were all adults that he was excommunicated, in part because we were moving. So we lived in, like you mentioned, in sheds and tents and motorhomes. When I took my ACT test in high school to go to college, we were living in a shed in the Ozarks with no running water. And my mother actually gave birth to one of my brothers when the family was living in a tent. We didn't even have a motorhome at the time. So I say in the book, it's like medieval times to give birth in a tent. And she gave birth to my sister while she was alone. My dad was out on the streets. So I try to be as compassionate as I can to my dad to understand the root, why and how he became this way, because he had suffered childhood sexual assault. He had been raped by a Mormon babysitter who had been trusted in the community, a female. And that's obviously traumatized him. And he was born in 1938. It was a different time. His parents didn't call the police. They didn't tell the Mormon bishop. They didn't call a counselor. There was no way for him to process what happened. And he did say that that led to him feeling suicidal later on in life. And so basically the book is about intergenerational trauma and the fact that he dealt with this that made him suicidal, and he passed that on to us. Sadly, three of my siblings have attempted suicide. Two of brothers have been diagnosed with schizophrenia. One of the schizophrenic brothers groped me and tried to rape me. The other schizophrenic brother accused me of trying to seduce him to have sex with me. And my dad said, yes, you're a slut. You tried to seduce your own brother. And I'm just like, I cannot be in this environment. Very toxic. And so I told my dad, I went through my first investigative journalism project, is my father a prophet? And when I came through on the other side, I determined that I believe he was a false prophet or not a prophet at all. And so I told him I wanted to go away to college. And I'm the fifth in the birth order. I have four older brothers and they were still at home. So I told him I wanted to go away. He raised his right hand to the square and he said, I prophesy in the name of Jesus, you'll be raped and murdered if you leave. And so at that point, my brother had already tried to rape me. My dad's saying I'm getting raped. So I just, gallows humor, I'm like, I'm getting raped, whatever I do.
Word. How old were you at this point? 18?
I was 18. So I left home a couple months after my 18th birthday. I did come crawling back about a week or so later, which I've, you know, talking the book about studies about abused women, how it usually takes actually on average 7 times for an abused wife or girlfriend. And in this case, it was my dad. So it only took me 2 times, but on average, it takes a domestic, you know, abused woman 7 times to leave because they go back because they feel guilty. They're also so conditioned, almost like Stockholm syndrome, to keep coming back.
I don't even, you know what? The audience will attest to this. I'm usually never speechless. I'm literally at that point right now. I don't know if I should, I want to like punch my fist through a wall and cry at the same time for your sake. I can't even imagine living through that. I cannot even wrap my brain around that. I probably never will. But the amazing thing is Christ came into your life. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to go to a short commercial break, support our sponsors. They allow us to get phenomenal guests like you on today, Carrie, to share your story. Unbelievable. But God, right? But God, classic example, you are it. Back with Carrie Moore on freedom in Christ and what she's doing today to help millions of other people as a result.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products. Taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at RedemptionShield.com and get grounded and shielded. RedemptionShield.com. Use code TINA and save 10%.
Can we trust what's written in the book of Genesis? How could a flood cover the entire earth? And where do dinosaurs fit in the Bible? Find the answers to these questions and more at the ICR Discovery Center in Dallas. Bring family and friends to experience the wonders of creation through our exhibit hall and stunning planetarium shows. Experience the origins of our universe. Step aboard Noah's Ark, chill in our Ice Age theater, meet the founders of science, encounter animatronic animals, and so much more. Our scientists' work is on display in the current research exhibit, and our biology research laboratory showcases our experiments. And don't forget to shop the Discovery Store for t-shirts, books, gifts, and more. Discover how science confirms the Bible today.
Bring your family and friends to the ICR Discovery Center in Dallas. To plan your visit, go to icr.org/Tina. That's icr.org/TINA.
You've got to check out some of the cleanest, healthiest meat in the nation. Good Ranchers is committed to bringing you American meat that will nourish your family, delivered straight to your front door. We are now hooked on Good Ranchers, eating their meat several times a week. They have a lot of excellent packages to choose from right there at goodranchers.com. Check it out immediately and get some meat on your table. You can choose your boxes: Ranchers Classic, Holiday Helper, Prime Pork Box, many, many options to choose from. Only 100% American farm-raised meat, USDA Prime and Upper Choice quality, no mRNA vaccines or antibiotics. And if you didn't see that series a couple weeks back, you got to check it out. The elites are pumping mRNA in many of our meat sources in this country. And who knows what's being shipped in from other communist nations like China. So go to goodranchers.com, stock up and save $30 off your first box as a bonus by using the code word Tina at checkout. That's right, $30 off using code Tina at checkout. Carrie, we were talking during commercial break. I will probably never be able to wrap my brain around what you live through, but God, he is great. He's using you mightily. And I'm very excited to see and hear about your story here with the forgiveness aspect. But first, you mentioned to me that you had several coping mechanisms that you tried to use over the years. That's key. Everybody tuning in right now, if you see one of these coping mechanisms in someone in your life, either through school, after school programs, your neighbors across the street, or in your own home, please reach out to whoever you suggest. Cops, if needed, counselors, whatever you would suggest to help people, because this is how I think people are going to wake up and connect the dots. Coping mechanisms, what were they and what should people be looking out for?
Yeah, so I mean, there were coping mechanisms, I think, as a child and then as an adult to recover or mask it, basically. But as a kid, the tactic my dad used to basically continue his abuse was that we were constantly moving. So that's a huge red flag. So if someone in your life is uprooting, and I've heard the story over and over, it's quite a common thing, especially among cults, to uproot, go to the next town, con artists the same way. So we actually almost were taken away by Child Custody Protection Services when I was about 4 or 5 years old up in Boston area. But then we uprooted and went to the next. We went out to Utah to run away. But a red flag was that we were conditioned to defend our father at all costs with just ferocity, because he brainwashed us to believe that he was a prophet and that he had a special calling. And so this like visceral just defense of your abuser is quite common. And unfortunately, that's what keeps a lot of it's not always, but it's usually the mother or the woman who's brainwashed, and then it all trickles down to keep an iron fist control over the kids. So one thing that I have struggled with, and I talk in the book a little bit, I struggled with forgiving my aunts and uncles for not doing something.
Yes.
And I think my nieces and nephews, if for one second I thought there was one iota of child abuse, I would immediately be all over that. But I know that that's because I'm very vigilant because of what I went through. But just talking to them, they said, oh, we didn't know. We didn't know. He was always moving. He shut us out. He shut us out. He brainwashed his wife. And so her family and his family, for her family, it was just like, my dad brainwashed her to hate her own family. She said her mother was satanic. She didn't even go to her own mother's funeral. She didn't go to her sister's funeral. So that's a huge red flag of how estranged and how brainwashed are these people against their own family of origin? Because if everyone in the world is satanic and evil except you, the cult leader, that's a huge red flag. So that should be like, you know what? I also think they're in denial that it was as bad as it was, in part because there was almost within, I believe, Mormon culture, there's this perfectionism that you've got to put this facade up. And I certainly carried that with me as an adult. But it was almost like my aunts and uncles were in denial that something this horrific could be in their own family. So they didn't want to get, they were afraid of him physically, or they didn't want to get their lives messed up by him. So they weren't going to call the cops, because that's like a Jerry Springer thing. Calling the cops on your brother or your son or your daughter, that's something that happens in lowbrow families. But our family, we're not, that's not us. So like, why bother? We're not going to do that because that's not us.
Girl.
It's like, oh, it is. And so.
People have, don't worry about Jerry Springer, people. I think that show is finally off the air anyway. There is no excuse. If you see families moving every 7 days, even every 7 months, and the lines that you just shared and the red flags, you have to report it. Absolutely have to report it. You will save those kids a lifelong hellish road of recovery, and you'll be their hero. You have to reach out. We have to be diligent, keep our eyes open. For these last remaining minutes, it is so critical that we dig in your brain and heart for the forgiveness aspect. Most people say, I would never be able to forgive for a scenario like that. Yet Christ calls us to forgive, and you have forgiven. So any petty situation, people, that we might be not wanting to forgive our family for, friends for, after hearing this story and you forgave, hello, hello. Tell us about the forgiveness with your parents, your mom, and then your father. This is unbelievable.
Once I became a Christian, I talk about how that all happened. Very unexpected. It's God works mysteriously how I became a Christian. But the short answer is I tried everything else and nothing worked to fulfill that. But then I became baptized Christian on December 3rd, 2017. It's a little over 6 years now.
Oh, that's amazing.
But I knew, and I wrestled with this, that I had to forgive my dad because it was a commandment. Jesus commanded us. But I struggled with that. And God brought into my life an amazing forgiveness mentor that I knew if he could forgive, then I could forgive. And that was, his name is Pastor Anthony Thompson. And he wrote a book. The title is Called to Forgive. And his book changed my life. And I was able to meet him, and he became a mentor. And his wife was murdered in Charleston in that horrific shooting in 2015 when a white supremacist came in looking to hunt people. And one of those nine poor souls was his wife. And it was just this phenomenal, miraculous moment, because in the bond hearing, which is not typical, the judge allowed basically the victims' families to speak directly to the accused. And what they said was, they said, I forgive you. We forgive you. God loves you. Give your life to Christ. He can heal you. Take this hatred out of your heart. I forgive you. And it was just, this white supremacist was looking to create a race riot in Charleston, the way he'd seen what had erupted in Baltimore and Ferguson and other places. And instead, there was this eruption of love. And people were shocked at the forgiveness. And there were no riots. There were no burning down of Black businesses. There were no deaths, you know, in the wake of what happened with, you know, some of these shootings, that there were dozens of people killed, and predominantly Black people killed in these riots. It's just sad. And so, but none of that happened because of these people who forgave this evil man. And so he wrote a book. Like I said, the title's Called to Forgive. I read it. He knocks down all the myths why you should not forgive. And I knew that I had to forgive my dad. And so, and also my mom as well, because she enabled him, and she's a victim because he victimized her, but she enabled him. So I had to forgive her for the enabling him. I had to forgive him for what he did. And I also had more compassion. Like I said, the more I researched the effects of child sexualhood assault on people as an adult, it actually compounds. You're actually more likely to commit suicide with time as you get older if you have childhood sexual assault that's not resolved. So it's not the same as time heals all wounds. It doesn't with childhood sexual assault if you don't have that addressed.
I feel like what a beautiful story. What a horrific, but now beautiful story. I keep saying it, but I cannot imagine what you lived through and how hard that had to be to forgive your father and your mother for the role that she played with enabling. Unbelievable. I know that you absolutely must have felt robbed of the parents you could have had, the father you could have had, the life you could have had. And yet God is blessing you tenfold on the other side of that hell. How did you forgive him? And how did you feel after you forgave him?
Well, I have a whole chapter if people want to hear the full story.
Get the book, people. Get the book.
Thank you. But the moment when I forgave him, I did go in person. I ended up having, it was about 7 years after I had stopped speaking with him, because he had disowned me all through college. And then I decided to disown him after he said, I try to seduce my brother to have sex. I was just like, I'm done. So I had disowned him for about 7 years. And so I hadn't spoken to him in about 7 years when I did this, and went and I made sure to bring one of my brothers, who's an army captain, very strong.
Just yeah. For physical.
Because my other two brothers were there too. And, you know, it's just, you know, safe. But it was actually quite calm. It wasn't some big moment where, you know, I listed out all the things that I forgive. It was just more like I just went in and had dinner at their house, and I hadn't been under their roof for years at that point. I still have never spent a night under my parents' roof, and I'm 41, since I was 18 for wow. safety reasons. But I went in and had dinner with them, and it was calm. It was just the sense of calm and shocking. And that it reminded me of that verse about peace that surpasses understanding.
Once again, I'm like practically speechless. You can see it. I'm just like blown away by who you are as a person. And you're glowing. Today, you are glowing with the love of Christ. Everybody that's hearing this story would want to cling to what you have, your resources, your wisdom. I know that our audience will absolutely love you. I love you. That's when I met you, I embraced who you were as a person. You exude that. More with Carrie and her fantastic resources, books, and so much more right after this.
We have four principles. First Amendment, Second Amendment, right to life, military and first responders.
My name's Scott. I'm with Patriot Mobile. What is going on with all the woke companies in this country? It seems like everybody has completely lost their minds, right? No more. This is called voting with our dollars. We need to start prioritizing our beliefs and our values over convenience and comfort. And this is why companies like Patriot Mobile are so important right now.
If you have a place to go put your money, you always want to put it with somebody that's like mine.
Of course.
I think that's the beauty of Patriot Mobile. We're a conservative alternative.
My pronouns are Bible believer, gun carrier, and mama bear. We are the nation's only Christian conservative wireless provider.
Switch today at patriotmobile.com. For free activation, use promo code TINA.
Have you ever wanted to start a charity or ministry? Launching a nonprofit can be time-consuming, expensive, and overwhelming. If you have a vision and mission, but don't know where to start or how to raise donations, Capstone Legacy Foundation is your solution. Their ministry charity project allows you to receive tax-free donations without the expense and hassle of forming your own 501c3, and in less than 48 hours. This ministry partnership fund is exactly how Counterculture Ministries got its start, and we grew quickly. Capstone Legacy Foundation handles all your legal and accounting paperwork, allowing you time to develop the ministry and message God gave you. Call Capstone today at 610-688-8890 or check out capstonelegacy.org for more information and tell them Tina sent you. Partner with Capstone Legacy Foundation to transform our culture for Christ and get your nonprofit started today.
We got to get your book. That's a no-brainer. And it just came out too. Fresh, hot off the press, people. Get it. Grab it now. Also, CarrieSheffield.com, C-A-R-R-I-E, Sheffield, S-H-E-F-F-I-E-L-D.com. Pre-order now this fantastic book. Check out her website. Look at that. Nothing is going to stop this chick, everybody. Nothing. Check out homepage, book, speaking. She speaks all over the globe. Contact her right through this website. You can watch a bunch of videos about her past, what she's doing today in Washington, D.C. to make a difference. Check out all four episodes. You're going to be mind-blown with who God brought in the program this week on the topic of forgiveness. CounterCultureMom.com. If you want to donate to our cause to get more phenomenal people on our show like Carrie, go ahead and click on the pink donate button, top of the page. Donate away. We are a tax write-off for you. You can give to ministries like Carrie and I or the government. That's an easy answer. Carrie, keep up the excellent work. I cannot wait to see you again. It might be in 2 weeks when we're out there for spring break. So keep at it. Honor to know you, sister. Keep plugging away.